The Gospel According to Children. I actually love that. And I've seen other videos like that where the kids tell the story. And it reminds me of when my kids were little. We have four kids, and we used to ask them, you know, tell us the Christmas story. And I learned so much. I mean, I didn't know there was a hippopotamus at the Nativity. Did you? See, you learned something in church tonight. There's so many things that kids tell us that say that cause me to think, go, I've never thought of it that way. So just hearing their story, hearing their version. Some of you are still wondering about the hippopotamus. It's right here. You see it? It was there that night. But kids aren't the only ones that add to the story, right? You know that adults add stuff to the Christmas story all the time. And we got so many different versions of the Christmas story. We're not even sure what's up and what's down. My wife and I were driving around one day and saw one of these, you know, nativity inflatables that are so popular today. But I couldn't believe, I'm not going to show you the picture quite yet, who was with this nativity, as if this, what I'm about to say, was at that particular place. It's not Snoopy. It's not Santa Claus. Wait for it. SpongeBob's, what? And you know, it wasn't like they had all these inflatables all over the place. It was like a nativity. There's Jesus and there's SpongeBob. It's like, I just want to make sure we understand. We're not teaching that SpongeBob was there. No, that didn't happen. But this is the kind of thing that people add this kind of stuff. And people who don't know the story, they're like, I don't know, is that right or wrong? Is all of it just made up or did it really happen? And you know, does the Bible tell us this or that? What's in the Bible? For instance, we almost always put a nativity scene with the three wise men. But more than likely, they weren't there that night. When we talk about the three wise men, they were journeying because, you know, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only Matthew and Luke tell us about the birth of Jesus. Matthew is giving us like an overview. He's not really into the details, just wants to get the big picture. Luke tells us all the details. He's a doctor, so he wants to know about all the details. And what people do is they smash these two stories together. They weren't meant to be smashed together. When Matthew just tells us an overview, he says, after the birth of Jesus, wise men came from the east. That doesn't mean that they were there that night, but you see nativity scenes with them all the time. And I'm not trying to blow up your version of Christmas. I'm just like, what are the most important things? What are we supposed to believe? What are we supposed to know about the birth of Jesus? Because it's getting harder and harder for people to understand, to really understand what happened that night and what's important, which leads us to the question, what is Christmas really all about? And that's my job to tell you. I could give you a technical definition like the word Christmas, break it up into the word mas, which is not from the Spanish language, you know, mas meaning more. It's from the Latin mass. They said mas, but we have, like Catholic churches have masses. That's a celebration. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like a celebration to some of us, but that's a celebration of Christ. There's the word. Christmas is a celebration of Christ. And that's where it got its start. That's what it's all about. But again, that's just a kind of a definition. Let's turn to Luke's gospel and hear his version, not from a kid, but from Luke himself. And so I'm gonna read this from the Bible, and I'm also gonna put it up on the screen. So how about if we all stand? We do this here at Church the Open Door to honor God's word. So let's hear his version of what happened that night. He starts off by saying, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. We saw that. Keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Come on, just try to imagine this. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they freaked out. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." We'll stop right there. You can be seated. So we're looking for celebration. Did you see it? Did you see the celebration? This language of the angel, "I'm bringing you good news of great joy." There's where the celebration starts. And then this phrase here, "a great company." I'm guessing, you know, thousands of angels appear from heaven, and now they're in the sky. They're above this field in Bethlehem, and that's the heavenly host. They appeared with this angel, and they're praising God, singing, saying, and that's the Bible's idea of a celebration, and it's all about announcing the birth of Jesus. So real simple, Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about a philosophy that Christians believe. It's not about Christmas candy, although I do love Christmas candy, and eating yourself until you get sick to your stomach. It's not about all the things that we ask. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about tinsel. It's about the celebration of the birth of Jesus into the world. We've actually got a place in the bulletin that you got tonight for you to take notes, or you can draw pictures or do whatever you want, play hangman. But if you want to fill in the blank here, I'm going to fill in some blanks here, but just let that sentence sit. Christmas is about Jesus. Before we even fill the blanks in, there it is, real simple. Christmas is about Jesus. We'll start there. And now, you know, when teachers or parents, which are the first teachers, when teachers and parents and family want to teach the story of Christmas or want to teach anything, they try to think of ways that are creative. They try to think of props, memory aids that could help kids or help people who've never heard the story to remember it. And when I was a kid, I heard this story, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but I heard this story that there was this guy who was a teacher who wanted to teach his kids about the story of Jesus. And so either he was a candy maker or got somebody to make this candy and shaped it in the shape of a J. We call this a candy cane today, but it was shaped in the shape of a J and gave it to the kids to remind them Christmas, and as I tell you the story, it's about Jesus. Already, people were confused about, is it about Santa or is it about Jesus? It's about Jesus. And this little memory aid is something that has hung around, and people still use it today to teach kids and adults that Christmas is about Jesus. Did you guys get some candy cane when you walked in today? I got, yes? Now, can I see the hands of people who got candy canes? Oh, okay, a couple of you. So you can get it out. You can eat if you want as you're listening to the sermon. It keeps you awake. It's got more than just sugar in it. You'll see. Okay, so Christmas is about Jesus. Let's start filling in the blanks. And in order to do that, we'll go back to the story. And I've highlighted this word angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And again, this word, let's talk about what an angel is, because we don't see angels. I mean, have you seen an angel? Don't tell me, guys, don't tell me it's your wife. I get it. Have you seen an angel recently? Not that I know of. So we're not used to seeing them. An angel is a messenger sent from God. That's all an angel. It simply means messenger from God, a messenger sent from God. In this case, let's add the word heavenly messenger, because I am a messenger. I have a message tonight for you from God, but I'm no angel. So let's make sure we understand the angel is in the story here is this heavenly messenger or heavenly messengers sent from God. And that idea of a messenger or a message being sent from God is so foundational to the story of Christmas. And I'll explain this in a couple of seconds, but you keep hearing this language of angels being sent from God. This isn't the first time we see an angel, the story we just read. Let's go back to the first chapter of Luke, and we start seeing angels every once in a while showing up, and they all do the same thing. They're all been sent with a message. Let's read this. And the angel said to this guy named Zechariah, "I am Gabriel." We find the angel's name. And I highlighted this phrase because it just blows my mind. I stand in the presence of God. Let that sink in for a minute. That's kind of cool. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent from God to speak to you, and here's the message, to tell you this good news. Just a couple of verses later, in verse 26, the angel shows up to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel. There's that sent language again. God sent the angel Gabriel, there he shows up again, to Nazareth, to a virgin named Mary. We keep seeing this being sent. John the Baptist, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 6, that he was sent from God. And Jesus, when he's talking or walking around teaching and telling people about who he is and why he's come, he says over and over again stuff like this. This is Jesus speaking. I have come down from heaven. Just let that sink in for a minute. I have come from heaven. When Jesus was born as a baby, that's not when he came into existence, like you and me. Now, I never existed until I became a baby in my mother's womb. I didn't have an existence before that. Jesus did. He existed forever in eternity past in heaven. Maybe you've heard of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son, and he's always existed, S-O-N. He's always existed in eternity past. But when he became human, he took on a body. Jesus did not have a body in heaven. He came to earth, that's Christmas, and became a human being. So this is so important. Jesus is fully God and yet fully human. That's so important for the Christmas story. And he's telling some people here, I've been in heaven, that's where I've always existed. And I've come down from heaven, but I've not come to do my own thing. I've come to do the will of him. And here's his language. Him who sent me, he's referring to the Father. And then a couple chapters later, I have come here from God. Same message. I've not come on my own. God sent me. So if you're filling in the blank, we can fill in some of those blanks a little bit more now. Christmas is about Jesus, and Christmas is about God sending Jesus. Jesus didn't just show up. It's not just some birth that happened and some people got excited about it. No, the birth of Jesus was prophesied for hundreds of years. God sent prophets. He sent messengers. He sent messages to tell people, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And all of these messages kind of came to this climax in the Gospels as we hear the last prophet before Jesus, John the Baptist, saying, I've come to prepare the way for the one who has been sent. That's Jesus. And so there's this story that we're entering into. Unlike your birth or my birth, the story didn't really start until, you know, 9 months before we were born. Mostly when we're born, that's when the story starts. But for Jesus, if you can track with me, this story starts in eternity past and moves into the Old Testament with all these prophets. And there's this anticipation of the coming of Jesus. Then Jesus comes, that's Christmas, and he's been sent by God. So let's make this tighter. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about God sending Jesus. And I've quoted two or three verses from what we call the Gospel of John. This guy, John, who was a disciple of Jesus, also wrote letters in the Bible. He wrote a gospel, the book called John, and he wrote some letters. And letters were to a bunch of people like us, Christians, people visiting churches, people hanging out. And these letters were written to these churches. And in one of these letters, John picks up this sent language again. Here it is. Talks about God sent his one and only Son into the world. Maybe you've heard this verse. And he says, God sent his Son that we might live through him. And then down here in verse 10, he uses this language, sent again. So we're picking up this whole idea that God sent Christmas is about God sending Jesus. But here's the cool thing about why I brought you to this letter, 1 John 4, is that John tells us why God sent Jesus. And I'm going to circle it right here for you. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world. Love, love, love. This is a love story. This is God loving his creation, recognizing that we're in trouble, we've messed things up, and his love is so big, so great, so deep. He's like, I got a plan. Actually, I have a plan before this world even got started because I knew what y'all were gonna do. And so Christmas is about God enacting this plan. Christmas is about God showing his love by sending Jesus. You see how this is getting expanding? We start off with Christmas is about Jesus, then what about Christmas is about God sending, and then we end up with Christmas is about God showing his love by sending Jesus. So that's the first and the biggest thing we wanna know about what Christmas is all about. It's this story that's being told. It's this plan that's unfolding. It's God's love story that reaches you and I. But it's not just about God showing his love. Sometimes people make it sound that when God gave Jesus as the gift to the world, that Jesus kind of didn't have a say in it. So you write this down. Christmas is God's Christmas gift. Jesus is God's Christmas gift of love. But Jesus wasn't just some kind of static, you know, I'll do it if I have to, just kind of along for the ride. No, Jesus came because he wanted to. I want you to hear this tonight. Jesus wasn't just sent, well, I have to do what God says. He wanted to come. He came for a purpose. So we'll go back to John. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This is John telling us the story of how Jesus came out of his own love. So you could actually write this down as point two. Christmas is also about Jesus showing his love. It's about God the Father showing his love and sending Jesus. And it's about Jesus showing his love when he came to this earth. Jesus came willingly. He didn't come grudgingly. He came for you and for me. He came to show the love of the Father to people. He came because he wanted to. And you understand, since you heard me say a couple minutes ago, that Jesus always existed in heaven. When he came to earth, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was getting into. He knew that now he took on flesh and blood. Now that he's kind of tangibilifying himself, now that flesh and blood can be cut, can be hurt. Jesus can be punched. Jesus can be crucified. Jesus can suffer. And he knows all of this when he comes to earth. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus wasn't immune to suffering. He didn't kind of like put some shield up and go, okay, crucify me, I'm good. No, he suffered. And he did it out of love. He did it with such great love that the Bible says, let me highlight this phrase, he laid down his life for us. Sometimes when people talk about the death of Jesus, that he died on a cross, they make it sound like the Roman soldiers, grabbed Jesus and threw him down on the cross, and he was a prisoner of theirs and he couldn't do anything about it. But no, Jesus says, another place he says, no one took my life, I laid it down. Jesus wants to be clear that his death is not a tragedy that happened accidentally because the Roman soldiers arrested him and crucified him. Jesus came to be crucified. Isn't that crazy to think about? He came to lay down his life. This is a part of the Christmas story that people don't always hear. Yes, it's about Jesus' birth, but he came for a purpose. And in his coming, watch up the screen here now. This is a reference to his death. He came to die for you and for me. That's why he came, and he did it out of love. This is how we know what love is. Earlier in John 4:10, John talks about how Jesus loved us and how God loved us, the Father, and sent his Son, and uses this, a different kind of phrase here, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the same idea as laying down his life. It's referring to his death. But here, John's helping us see that when Jesus died, he died in your place. He was a sacrifice for you. So I know I would be crying too. So I don't have to pay the penalty for my sins. Jesus paid them for me. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever heard this news before? That Jesus sacrificed himself. He died for you so you would not have to pay the penalty for your sins. That's what we mean by an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's crazy. That's love. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus coming to earth to die for your sins and mine. And this picture that we've been talking about, or this candy cane we've been talking about, pictures this as well. It's not just in the shape of a J, but these red stripes represent, according to the story, the blood of Jesus. It's not the blood. You know, when you eat a candy, you're not eating blood, all right? Just so we're clear about that. It represents. So as you're eating this candy, thinking about the fact that it's in the shape of J, and you're a little kid, and you're hearing about the story of Christmas, and then you hear, what's the red for? That's the blood that Jesus, or that represents the blood that Jesus shed for you. And some people want to say, well, there's three stripes. And one stripe is for the nail that's pierced in this hand, and one stripe is for the nail that's pierced in this hand, and then the other stripe is for the nail that pierced his feet. Another person says, no, it's the three stripes or the three places where he bled. From his crown of thorns he bled, from the nails, and then from the thorn, or from the spear into his side. I don't know. This the whole candy cane story, I'm not even sure it's you know, historically accurate. It doesn't really matter to me. It's a symbol. It's a teaching tool. But when I see a candy cane now, I remember the story and it reminds me about Jesus. And this is why I'm including it. Every time you see a candy cane, I wonder if you'll start thinking about Jesus, because now that you've heard this story, and maybe you'll consider that this candy is white, which represents purity, the purity of the nature of Jesus, the stripes, which represent his blood, not a barbershop, his blood shed for you on the cross. And that candy canes won't just be a Christmas candy that you eat and don't think about, but that when you open one up, it's like, that's right, it's in the shape of a J. And maybe those stripes represent Jesus's blood shed for me. Because if all we're gonna talk about is just the birth, and we don't think about his death, then we've misunderstood what Christmas is all about. Let me put it this way. Jesus's birth was meaningless. Yeah, I'm a pastor, I just said that. Jesus' birth was meaningless without his death on the cross. He's just another guy that's born. It's just another life that's lived. It's a great life, but that's about it. See, we believe that Jesus, because the Bible teaches us this, that Jesus, as a man who was also fully God, that his death could pay the penalty for our sins. My death couldn't do that. I could love you so much that I would say, you know what? I want to sacrifice my life for you. I want to die for you. That's great, Jim, but my death couldn't do a thing for you because I'm a sinner. I'm no better than you. I'm a preacher. So what? Only the death of Jesus, who never sinned, who's pure, who showed us what God is really like, only his death could pay the penalty for our sin. So his birth is amazing. It's a miracle. It's wonderful. Let's sing about it. Let's celebrate. But let's not forget why he came. Amen? And that will help us understand that Christmas is a lot more than just celebrating his birth. And I'm so grateful that this has been recorded in the scriptures so I can understand why Jesus came. But John's not done yet, and I'm not done yet. Just give me a couple seconds. And after John 4:10, there's 1 John 4:11. Watch, I'm going to put up on the screen. Watch what John does. In verse 10, he reminds us that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Then he says, dear friends, he's talking to the church, to a group of people, dear friends, since God so loved us, what's he mean? God loved us so much he sent Jesus. Jesus loved us so much that he came to die for us. Since God loved us in that way, watch what he does. We also ought to love one another. In other words, what he does is he roots our purpose for loving one another in the fact that God has loved us. In other words, he's not saying, be just a good person, go do good things, give people money, be a nice person, be generous. You know, that's great, but he is saying, because God has loved you and his life should impact you. That means that your life now should begin to reflect the way God's loved you. So it's not people doing good things, it's people showing the love of God. Since God loved you, we ought to love one another. And when he says that, he brings us to the third point, that Christmas is also about us. That is, if we understand what Christmas is, it's about us showing God's love to one another. You're going to hear a lot about love if you haven't already. Christmas time, we should love one another, Christmas songs, but never forget this. If it's not rooted in the love of God, then it's just sentimental, saccharine stories. We're to love because God loved us. We love because he first loved us, right? And you say, well, how do I love like that with the love with which Jesus loved you? I'm actually going to talk about this in starting a new series in January, January 7th. I'm going to start a series called Expanding Your Circle of Love. And it comes from the words of Jesus where he talks to his disciples about this very thing, about loving people. And, you know, he talks about the four groups of people, those who love the people who are just like them. And Jesus goes, if you love the people who love you, I mean, what's so special about that? He wants us to expand our circle. Because most of the time most of the time it's pretty easy to love the people in your tight circle, but you need to reach out because that's what Jesus did, and to love those who are different from you. That's another category of way of people we're supposed to love, people who are different from us in all kinds of different ways, maybe oriented different, think different, see different, feel different. We're to love everyone, and sometimes we're not sure, how do I love that person? Jesus is going to teach us, and then he's going to get to the ultimate category, and that is love your enemies. So we're going to learn how to love like Jesus. Come on back to January 7th, and come back next week too, because we're going to talk about more about love, but just I'm talking about what's happening January 7th. But let me wrap this up by helping you see that the love that we're talking about is the kind of love that Jesus modeled. This is Jesus speaking again when he says, as I, it's Jesus speaking. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In fact, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, Jesus says. You're following me to learn from me, to become more like me, if you love one another. Jesus is the model. He's the model for what it looks like to love. So we celebrate his birth, his coming to earth. We celebrate his death on the cross to pay for our sins. And we celebrate this love that transforms the world. Because Jesus, one time he said, I'm the light of the world. Then he looked to his disciples and he says, and you're the light of the world. When you love with my love, listen to this. Jesus says, when you love people like I do, it's like a light punching a hole. Let me put it this way, punching a hole into the darkness. So there's this dark world that we live in. The idea is that there's holes being punched into that darkness with the way that we love. And every time we love like Christ, it gets a brighter. And that's why at the end of every Christmas Eve service, we light candles. Every year we do this, and I never get tired of it because it reminds me of the dark world that we live in and my responsibility to let the love of Jesus that we're celebrating flow into my life, into your life. And that you celebrate the love of Jesus coming into your life and flowing into my life. And we love one another with the love of Jesus. We love the world around us. We reach out to people who don't even understand who God is to love them and punch holes in the darkness so it doesn't overwhelm this world. And so the light of love, the light of Christ can shine. That's our job. And that's why as we wrap this service up and talk about the love that launched Christmas, this is the love that I'm asking God to shine in your life tonight. Represented by this candle that we're gonna light. We're gonna actually turn all the lights off and it's gonna get dark in here. And one by one, we're gonna light these candles and we'll see the light begin to glow and spread. And that will be the symbol of the love of Jesus spreading into our world. Amen. Let me just close your eyes with me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this love. Thank you that you didn't just talk about it, but you did it. You showed it. You demonstrated it. And Jesus, for you to come to this planet that's so messed up and offer yourself as a sacrifice, to offer yourself as the gift of life, to offer yourself to die for our sins, we're so grateful. Thank you for shining your light. Lord, tonight as we celebrate this light that's come into the world, as we celebrate this light in each one of our lives, I pray that all of us would just pause and think about this love. Lord, there's anyone here tonight who's actually never said, Jesus, shine your light into my life. Jesus, I want to know more about this. I want to follow you. Let this light shine in my life. Lord, help them, even tonight, just to open their life to you. Just, Lord, I open my life to you. Shine your light into me. And as we see this light expand, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Let your light spread throughout this world, Lord. For we pray in your holy name. Amen.